The Power Packs Geek Speak. Thanks to the Telstra Store, Mount Barker and Murray Bridge. With Adelaide's tech guy, Richard Pascoe.
Richard, hello, darling.
Hello.
Oh, it's the best time of the week. Thank you so much for joining us. If you don't know who Richard is, he's the Adelaide tech guy, and I'm going to steal the show for a minute, as I like to do. We had an issue yesterday, Damon and I, involving computer mouse or mices. We did not know what to say. What do you call multiple computer mice?
I would call them mice.
Oh, there you go.
I need two mice.
Computer mice.
There you go. Okay, good. We've heard it from the expert himself. Thank
Question
you.
Question answered. Yeah, we could put a stamp on that one. Richard, when people are out and about shopping for a brand new computer, and maybe you're in the market at the moment, what should people be looking out for?
People need some advice more than anything when they do it. If you surf email and write Word documents, you can get a great quality computer for $800 to $1,000 D for many years. You're not doing that much on it.
Yeah.
If you edit photos, let's say you're a Photoshop user or you want to edit movies, then you may have to look at the $1,500 to $2,000 bracket. Sometimes it's a complete overkill to pay too much for a computer. Reason I'm bringing this up is that I had a client.
Oh, no.
What do you reckon that client said to him?
They said, I have too much cash to spend on computers and I don't know where to put
a laptop.
Oh, he's back. Richard, we lost you there. And Molly was just theorising what you were saying at the time. But that's okay. You had the client that had a budget.
Yes, but unfortunately she paid $3,000 for this laptop.
Oh.
She'd been convinced to pay for it. So she'd been sucked in by the salesperson for it. So don't pay too much for your computer. By the way, if you only surf email and write Word documents, have a look at the iPad.
That's a good
point. $499, that might be all you need.
And it's a mum's best friend, if you ask me. Mums love iPads. Let's talk online shopping. Apparently, you've got some tips for us. Are we going to be talking about fashion? Because I'm here for it, Richard.
There we go. So, yes, when you buy something online, look for the padlock at the top of the address bar. It's got to have a padlock up there or HTTPS. I say to people, no padlock, no shop, no bank. That means that everything you do is encrypted when you put your credit card details in, which means criminals can't eavesdrop on your data. So that's the first thing. Be careful who you shop with. Look at the website you're buying from. Sometimes you go to links on, let's say, social media to websites, and they look terrible, these websites. So poor site design, if it looks like it was thrown together in a couple of hours. Not a good idea to trust it with your credit card details.
Yeah.
If it's got poor spelling or grammar on there as well, so a lot of sites that come out of Asia sometimes, not that great. Reputable sites put a great amount of effort and resources into the content of their site. If it's got a weird business name or URL, such as best-gifts-at-superlowprices.com, don't buy from them.
Oh, no, better cancel my order.
Yes, right now, cancel your order. And if it's got no contact details on there as well. So e-commerce sites always provide a way to get in touch. If the website doesn't provide a way to talk to support, probably means it's illegitimate on there. Ooh. So even if it is legitimate, you want to deal with a company that provides decent support as well. So I'm going to say gold standard in support is Amazon. Ever had a problem and want to return something to Amazon, they make it very easy for you to do it.
Richard, we didn't acknowledge Port Adelaide's performance on the weekend. Top of the ladder again.
We're just etching out a few wins. We're just a working-class club. We're taking it one week at a time, Damon.
Molly, do you want to get in on this conversation?
Come on, the pair.
Exactly.
Never tear us apart.
Yeah, oh, just beautiful. That's just, the goosebumps on the back of my arms are standing up. Richard, Instagram for kids, is this an actual thing that's been developed?
They're exploring them at the moment. So the vice president of product, Vishal Shah, wrote that they're excited to announce that moving forward they've identified youth work as a priority for Instagram. Last time an organisation did this was just before World War II. We were building a new youth pillar within the community product group to focus on two things: accelerating our integrity and privacy work to ensure the safest possible experience for teens, and building a version of Instagram that allows people under the age of 13 to safely use Instagram for the first time. We don't need this, I've really got to say. Your kids, wonderful, but when they're under 13, I don't think there's any great photographers out there at all. Get the kids outside doing something else.
Yeah. Keep them off social media for as long as possible, I reckon.
I'd imagine that's easier said than done, though, hey?
100%.
It is.
Yeah, particularly in those age ranges. I'd say anywhere from year five onwards, the social pressure to be on those platforms and to subvert those rules, which, as you said, Richard, is 13 and under, is really prevalent.
Well, I suppose we'll just have to see, hey?
Yeah. If you've got a child and you know a child under 13 that's on those things as well, you can report them. They will remove their account.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, and parents should be aware of that because sometimes it does get out of control.
Mm. Now, it's time for the best segment of the week.
Crap Tech of the Week. I said Crap Tech of the Week.
Richard Pascoe's Crap Tech of the Week.
Richard, what is the Mars Bar rover? Tell us.
It's got nothing to do with going to space at all. You know when you go through the supermarket and they've got the lollies at the checkouts and the chocolate bars and everything like that?
Yeah.
The danger zone, Mars, as I call it.
The danger zone, that's right. Mars Wrigley are stepping up their game because they've made a robot now that is full of lollies and everything that roams the store.
No.
And before you head to the checkout.
No, that's amazing. I can't say no to the charity workers. I'm not going to say no to a robot. My God.
Oh, some of those charity workers you definitely have to say no to. Big offence. Sorry if you're a charity worker this morning. It was developed by Mars Wrigley and a company called Savoke and has been nicknamed Smiley, but the robot doesn't even have a face.
What?
It's like a shelf. It's a shelf that runs around the store, relies on various sensors, navigates through the store, navigates through people, but detects when a person suddenly stops and says, oh, I might want one of those. So Smiley will stop there until you've picked up your sweets and your lollies and walks away. But Smiley also goes along and collects data on you as well.
Oh, God,
including how you move about the store. It's like a bloke with a clipboard saying what people do on there as well. So great for Mars Wrigley on there as well. But we don't need robots running around the supermarket chasing us, trying to get us to buy lollies.
Yeah, and judging us for our emotional needs that week.
You have no hope if this was in the supermarket, Molly. None at all. Richard Pascoe, the Adelaide Tech Guy. You can catch him at adelaidetechguy.com.au for all your tech needs. We won't actually have you on next Wednesday, Richard, but hopefully in a fortnight.
No.
We'll be brimming with tech news to pick through.
Thanks for taking a week off.
Have a fun time, Richard. I'm going to miss you with all my heart.
We'll catch you in a fortnight,
thank you,
Richard.
Molly.
You're welcome.
Bye.